to read the whole thing. So I wonder what you think of when you hear the word friendship. Perhaps you can recall good friendships that you've had in the past. Perhaps you can recall not quite as good friendships that you've had. Perhaps it makes you think of a special friend. Maybe it's somebody you still see. Maybe it's somebody you've lost touch with. But what do you think makes a good friend? What qualities do you look for in a friend? Maybe you're a person who makes friends very easily. Or maybe you just take a little bit longer to get to know people. Perhaps you look for somebody who's got the same interests as you. It's a good starting point anyway. Or maybe you like friends who are totally different and take you right out of your comfort zone. I had a friend who unfortunately died about 18 months ago. And she was the person who took me out of my comfort zone, who really challenged me on what I believed. And I looked forward to what we were going to do together in the future. But, you know, sadly, we're not going to. But I think after she died, and I didn't quite understand why the Lord had taken her. After she died, I thought, well, what do I do now? I'm missing that little bit of friendship there. And I started to pray for a new friend, not to replace her necessarily. But I thought, well, you know, if I want another friend, maybe I should ask, because that's what it tells us in the Bible. It's difficult, isn't it, with friendships? Friends sometimes come into your life when you least expect them to. And sometimes you have a friend that you get on with and you think, I don't know why we get on because we're so different. I've got a photo of a group of friends that's going to come up. You might recognise some of them. It's an old photo. I can't remember when it was taken. I'm taken by the length of my hair as to when I think it was taken. But this is a group of friends. I don't know if you've probably got similar photos at home of a group of friends, perhaps, that you've been out with or that you've had touch with. In our reading today, we're told about a really special friendship. It's a friendship between two people, and probably an unlikely friendship if you really think about it. One, a shepherd boy who had been anointed to be a king, but the other was an heir to a kingdom, the son of a king. So how did they become friends? Well, if you go back to chapter 18, you get to the point where David has come and he's killed Goliath, and he's come before Saul, who wants to know, who is this young lad? Who is this person? And you see Jonathan making a covenant with David. He obviously recognises a kindred spirit, somebody who he can be friends with. And they strike up a friendship, a really deep friendship. I'm sorry, that's a really twee picture, isn't it? But, you know, it's David and Jonathan, and that's, you just have to imagine it. Saul gives David a place in his palace, but it was with Jonathan that David makes a friendship, a covenant friendship, a really serious friendship. If you think about the covenants that God made with his people, they were serious covenants that had long-lasting effects. This was a serious friendship, one that they both took very seriously. In chapter 18 and verse 1, it says, after David had finished talking with Saul, Jonathan became one in spirit with David, and he loved him as himself. From that day, Saul kept David with him and didn't let him return to his father's house. And Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. Jonathan took off the robe he was wearing. He gave it to David, along with his tunic and even his sword, his bow and his belt. It was a friendship, a mutual obligation to one another, marked by these extravagant gifts that Jonathan gives to David. It was an immediate bonding. That's how, you know, I just see it as that, something that happened very quickly. He knows that David's going to be king, and David's life has just changed dramatically. He's gone from being a shepherd boy to killing a giant, and being in the court of the king. He's rescued sheep from lions and bears, and then he's found favour with the king. He's going to be a king. That's what Samuel anointed him to be. Jonathan, however, was the son of the king. Theoretically, he was going to be the king, automatically. We don't know why he wasn't chosen. He's got really many good qualities. He shows himself, he's courageous, he's strong. He's got determination, really good qualities. You can read a bit about his battle in 1 Samuel 14. He's presented as a really great man, but not the man that God has chosen to be king. He's an equal of David in faith and courage, and he's generous. You know, he shows that by the gifts that he gives. But also he's going to give away so much more. He's going to willingly give away his inheritance, his kingdom. A strong, committed friendship is what they had. David becomes popular, becomes liked by many. But Saul doesn't really like this. Saul becomes really jealous, and he tries to kill David many times. Jonathan can see that David is the one who's meant to be king, but Saul is just blinded by that rage and jealousy. Just imagine it fermenting underneath. I wonder, does that happen to you? Are you jealous sometimes of your friends' relationships with other people? You want your friend all to yourself. You don't want to share them with anybody else. You want to spend your time. Jeremy and I used to have some friends, and they wanted that sort of relationship. They wanted us just to be friends with them, and we found it a little bit stifling at the time. Not that we didn't want to be friends with them, but we didn't want to just be friends with them. It can be a bit stifling. It's strange in some ways, isn't it? Because Saul viewed David as an adopted son. David's harp playing soothed him. And David was later on to become Saul's son-in-law. What was there for him to be jealous about? But Saul couldn't get over that fact that David was going to be king and not his son Jonathan. In verse 7 of chapter 18, it tells us, this is what the people were saying, Saul has slain thousands, but David has slain tens of thousands. Oh, Saul really didn't want to hear this at all. The Lord had left Saul at this time. And Saul just carries on trying to do things in his own strength, rather than just letting go and letting God take over his life. He carries on trying to do things. I wonder how David must have felt when Saul tried to kill him, if he really understood all of that. I don't think anybody really understands that. You know, Saul going a bit mad. David had become a very popular person. The people wanted him to be king. He was anointed to be king, but Saul didn't want him to do it. He just saw David as a threat, not just to him, but also to his son Jonathan. Jonathan doesn't really see things that way, does he? He just can't understand, you know, he's my friend. Dad, why don't you like him? You know, he's my friend. You know, we've got a strong relationship. And I think sometimes as parents, it's difficult to like all your children's friends. I don't know, my daughters used to have people come round and I was thinking, oh, is that the one who only likes carrots? Or is that the one who's, not that I didn't like them, but it just was a pain sometimes. But it's hard, isn't it, as a parent sometimes to see your child bullied or taken for granted or struggling with friendships. It's hard to do that. I remember when Grace was at school, she had a friend who was hot one minute, cold the next. One day she was her best friend, next day she didn't want to know her. And it was funny because when they left school, Grace just turned around and said, I don't need this friendship. I don't need this anymore. She didn't want me to intervene, ever. She wanted to sort it out, and I think she learnt a lot from it. But it was hard for me as a parent to look on and see her hurting with this friend. You want to go in there and give them a good wallop, don't you? And just say, get on with it. Sort it out. I think since then she's gone on to make some really good friendships, and she's learnt a lot from it. So, you know, sometimes bad friendships can be as good as good friendships, really. Now, during the time that Saul's trying to kill David, Jonathan just shows great loyalty to him. He He takes this friendship very seriously. It can't have been easy for Jonathan to go against his father's wishes. And as we move into the chapter that we read, and thank you very much for reading the whole chapter, because it's quite long, it's a pivotal chapter that really has a lot to say to us. And its implications carry on into the rest of 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel if you read it. I mean, the Old Testament's fantastic, just if you carry on reading it. And as they approach these new moon celebrations, Jonathan isn't really aware of his father's plans. His father wants to kill David. It's a special festival, and it would have been a time for the family to come together, and David would have been expected to be at these celebrations. But he doesn't want to be. He knows that Saul's going to try and kill him. And Saul's reaction, as we read about, will to David's absence, would tell Jonathan all he needed to know. Was David telling the truth? Jonathan agrees to help David to avoid the wrath of Saul. He can't quite believe that that's what his father wants to do, to kill him, his friend. But David knows that Saul isn't happy with this friendship. He doesn't like it. He doesn't want it. Jonathan just takes time in verse 4 to listen and then says, "Whatever you want me to do, I'll do it for you." Just imagine at this point, if you were David, how that would feel as a friend. You've been believed, and your friend says to you, "Look, whatever you want me to do for you, I'll do it." How special must that have felt in that friendship? Jonathan, in the meantime, is agreeing to lie to his father for David. And it would have been easy for Jonathan to go, "Look, you know, he's my father. I've got to do as he says." He could have began plotting against David. He could have changed his mind and said, "You know, I want power. I'm going to become bitter." But he doesn't. He accepts that David's going to be the king and that David is God's choice. Jonathan does show some allegiance to Saul because he tries to prevent him from committing this murder. And likewise with David, he's got many opportunities to kill Saul, but he chooses not to. David even suggests that if he's guilty of everything that Saul's accusing him of, that Jonathan kills him. You know, why wait for your father to do it? You do it. And in verse 8, David asks Jonathan to show him kindness. What does that mean? What he's asking him for is he's asking Jonathan to help him because he can't help himself. He doesn't know how to do it himself. He needs Jonathan. He's asking, not just for now, not just for that particular moment, but in the future, "Will you always show me and my family kindness?" That's part of their covenant promise together. In verse 9, we see Jonathan's response. He says, "Never." He doesn't want to kill his friend, does he? He says, "Never. If I had the least inkling that my father was determined to harm you, wouldn't I tell you? Wouldn't I tell you?" His loyalty is right there. And it's just the reassurance that David needs to hear at that moment. Jonathan really has got a lot to lose in this friendship. You know, he's not going to be king, but their friendship is stronger than that. And now they've settled that and they can move on. They're going to devise a little plan. Jonathan says, you know, sorts this thing out with the arrows and the little boy and what they're going to say. They come across it together. They work together as a friendship. They make a promise to one another. And Jonathan says, "I'm willing to take the consequences." In verse 13, it says, "But if my father is inclined to harm you, may the Lord deal with me ever so severely if I do not let you know and send you away safely. May the Lord be with you as he's been with my father." He's saying, "Look, I'm not just making this promise to you, but I'm making it to the Lord as well. I'm saying this is what I'm going to do." And in verse 17, it says, "And Jonathan made David reaffirm his oath out of his love for him, because he loved him as himself." So together, they make that oath together, a friendship oath, something very special, a commitment to one another. It's a friendship that can't be broken. As Jonathan goes to be with his father, it's time for him to put all this into practice. Yeah, it really comes to the nitty-gritty, doesn't it? And I wonder, as Jonathan sat at that table with his father, how he felt. I imagine he was a little bit nervous. I'm now going to lie to my father about David. What's Saul going to do? But the time comes, and Jonathan presents the story of David going off to Bethlehem when challenged. And Saul just goes into a rage. He doesn't want to hear it. He starts calling Jonathan all sorts of names. He's so enraged. Jonathan's really deep attachment has angered him beyond belief. And now Jonathan's angry too. You know, this has all happened. You know, 1 minute Saul's angry, Jonathan's angry. But Jonathan, you know, has been accused of treason. And he's just so grieved by the way Saul is treating his friend. He'd not just accused him of things, not just accused him, but he's done it in front of everybody else at this festival. He gets up from the table, an angry man, but angry and grieving as well for that relationship that he had with his father. He's really quite sad. And he leaves the guests the next morning. He goes out into the field, waits for his friend David. And I can't imagine how his heart must have been feeling at that time, that I'm going to have to send my friend away. We're going to be parted. He shoots the arrows, the signal that they've gone with, and then sends the boy away. And David comes up to him and he bows 3 times. This shows that he really respected Jonathan, as it was a symbolic gesture of subordination. They exchange a kiss. It's just a gesture of farewell. And how sad they must both have felt. And they wept. They wept. Jonathan says to him, "Go in peace." That must have been so hard for him to send his friend away. And I feel at that point we should have some really climactic music and da-da-da, and the subtitles come on at the end of a film, you know, when you've got a really film, they're weeping and it's finished and it's not a happy ending. But that isn't really the end of the story. They commit to one another, not just for now, but for the future as well, for their descendants. They commit to there being peace between their descendants. And later on in 2 Samuel, we see that David honours that when he looks after Jonathan's son. So what does this have to teach us about friendship? It's a really good story. Lots in it. Well, it teaches us about some of the qualities that we need to have in a good friendship. Mutual affection, faithfulness, kindness, love and mercy. It's a mutual commitment that we make with another person. And it can involve sacrifice being a friend. Jonathan sacrifices this throne to David. He puts God's will above his own future. He's ready to be replaced. He recognizes that God has chosen David to be the next king. And he's willing to give up his own kingdom to see that happen. It teaches us that friendship can be costly. Jonathan really loses a lot, doesn't he? He loses not only his friendship with David, but he also loses his relationship with his father, really. It's torn down, the trust is broken. David and Jonathan, friends who came from different backgrounds and became great friends. Perhaps not the people you might have thought of who would have been friends, but it worked. They had such a strong friendship. Jonathan really just humbles himself, doesn't he? He's the person who is the heir to the throne, but he's unselfish. He's loving. He's so brave, especially when he goes and lies to his father. He's committed and wise. He's not destined to be the king. He saves David's life because Saul really wanted to kill him. He's somebody who is vital to David and his life. But I think, you know, we're talking in this series about David being a man after God's own heart. Jonathan is such a man as well, a man after God's own heart. He seeks always to discover the Lord's will and puts it into practice at the expense of claiming the kingdom for himself. He's got the right to be king, but he chooses not to. He makes a choice to follow God's will, not his own. He's jealous of David. He's not jealous of David, but recognizes that David is God's chosen one. He's happy to take the role of a servant. Now, David was a king who was a descendant of Jesus. But Jonathan, I think, in this story, perhaps shows the quality of Jesus, the humble king, himself. Today, Jesus wants to be our friend. He wants to be our friend. And during his time on earth, he was rejected by many who didn't want his friendship. And I think today, if you look around the world, many people are still rejecting Jesus and the friendship he offers. And it can be a costly business. You may get rejected yourself because you're a friend of Jesus. In John 15, we're told we're chosen. Chosen to be friends of God. Isn't that special? He tells us in verse 15, "I call you are my friends if you do what I command." There is a cost to the friendship. And we're called to love one another. And we're called to share that love with those around us. Now, friendships can often take time and effort to build, and our friendship with Jesus is no different. It takes time. You've got to spend time with him if you want to really move on in that friendship. You've got to build trust, and often you've got to make yourself vulnerable. Step out, perhaps, into something that you wouldn't think that you could do. But Jesus walks with you. And I like to think he's standing right there holding my hand this morning because I was feeling very vulnerable this morning. Now, Jesus asks us to be his friends, but it's up to us to accept. And it's been fantastic this morning, hasn't it, seeing that James has accepted Jesus as his friend and saviour. It's a two-way thing, a two-way thing. It's not just him choosing us, it's us choosing him as well. Jesus is our friend. And why is he our friend? Because of that kindness we talked about earlier. It's God's kindness to us. His love and his mercy that means that he sent his son to us to die for each one of us. It's his grace to us that means that we can have a relationship with him. We can't manage on our own. We need him. We need him in our lives. We are called, though, because of that friendship, to be loyal, to be faithful, to be kind, to love one another. These are all qualities we've seen in this story. They're qualities of God's friendship with us. What do you think about that friendship? I don't know where you all stand, whether you're already a friend of God, whether you'd like to be a friend of God, whether you've tried it and decided you don't like it. But whatever it is today, really try to move forward because Jesus is that friend who will never let you down. He will always be with you. And all you have to do is ask him. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter where you are right at this moment. Jesus can be your friend today. It was interesting this morning as I opened up my devotional that I was reading about Mary and Martha and how Martha was so busy trying to do. But Jesus doesn't call us to do. He calls us to be Mary's. He calls us to spend time with him, and it's the only way that we can move on with our friendship. But that spending time with him doesn't always mean doing. Yes, sometimes he does ask us to do things, but equally sometimes he just asks us to sit with him. I don't know how many of you have friendships where sometimes you just need to sit with that person. You don't need to say anything. You don't need to do anything. You just need to be with that person as a friend. I'm just going to give us a chance now just to perhaps close our eyes and just be with Jesus and see what he might say to you. But just rest in his arms. Imagine yourself sitting at his feet as Mary did, just being with Jesus. Let's do that. Father, we just thank you for the friendship of David and Jonathan. We thank you for the things that it has to teach us about friendship. Father, for those of us who don't know you or long to know you more, we ask you to show us how to be your friend. We ask you to guide us into good friendships with one another. We ask that you will help us to remember your love, your forgiveness, your mercy, and your kindness in each of our lives. We ask that you'll help us to mend any broken friendships in our lives. And we ask that you will help us to deepen our friendships with others and with you, Lord. Father, we want to say thank you for the friends that you have given us. Help us to appreciate them and to work at our friendships. And Father, most of all, help us to work at our friendship with you, to take time to spend time with you, to listen to you, to know the way forward for each of our lives. Help us to be like Jonathan, humble and willing to do your will. Lord, thank you so much that you are our friend. Amen. We're going to finish this morning.